Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Well, the Rambassador, Eric Dickerson, had to show up today, and he brought mini ED again.
Most definitely.
So he definitely had to be here after the Rams had that win over the
Time
Cowboys.
Out. I want to know what all this stuff is.
Well look, first of all, I just got to say, you know, we're going to New Orleans. I can't pass. The Saints go watch.
You got them on.
See,
too.
And I brought you. Look, you yours are different from everyone else's.
You got Cowboys.
I refuse because I'm on to you. I have figured you out.
Come on, Skip.
These are voodoo beads, and they are not going back to my house because I had a revelation last night.
I saw it.
I realized what happened. I accepted the gift that you gave me of the Jinx jersey, the Cowboy throwback number 4 Dak jersey. Uh-huh. And so I had to post something on Instagram this morning in which I got rid of it. Could we see it right now? Because I will never be fooled again
by
Eric
Dickerson. Yes, I saw it. Please, can we see it?
See, that's my good jersey. Mm-hmm. That's my jersey.
Okay.
Store-bought.
Uh-huh.
Kiss it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's my second one, my mm-hmm. blue jersey. I love that jersey. Mm-hmm. I kiss that one and keep it. And here it is. Here's the Jinx jersey that hung in my closet on Saturday night with the stars on the on the shoulders.
That's the throwback.
He gave it to me.
You told me you loved it.
I let it hang in my closet on Saturday night, and I lost because of it.
You should have put it on. Thank you.
You normally would
tell me. Maybe that was it.
I'm serious. That is in the trash. Okay. You got me, and you got me with little Chucky Dickerson. That's who it is. It's Chucky. Look at this. This is the creepiest thing. Look at those eyes.
Look at him again. Turn and look at him.
Look at this thing.
Let me tell you something, Skip.
Who made this for you? Some witch doctor?
This comes from one of my sponsors.
What happened Saturday, Eric?
What happened on Saturday? Well, first of all, I got to say this to him. After I left with him the other day, he talks. He only talks to me.
I almost
got into a fight in the car with him. Yeah. Because how you let Skip touch me like that? Why you let him touch me? He said he ain't gonna beat us. I'm like, come on, dog, settle down a little bit. So we had to fight. Yeah. So look, let me tell you what happened in that football game. I told you, don't let 21 beat us. Don't let it put the game in Dak's. You know, I like Dak. I do like Dak. I don't like Dak against the Rams. I like this. Everybody else against the Rams. Dak had a nice game, too.
He did.
He had a really good game. Mm-hmm. But when you can't stop the run, you're going to win the football game. That's what it comes down to.
I have a question for the two Hall of Famers. Did either of you on Friday predict that the L.A. Rams would run wild on the Dallas Cowboys? I didn't hear a word about that from either of you two.
I didn't think they'd run for that. But I thought they could get 100 yards between the two of them.
100?
I didn't think no two...
Did not say run the football. That's the key to the game. Yeah. Run the football. You don't foresee 273. I didn't foresee 248 when I put it on him. But
273.
But the number's there.
What is with the Rams and y'all defense and rushing the ball, Skip?
We played a Cowboy.
That was Tom Landry's defense. That was a long time
ago. Still your team.
But help me out. Where did C.J. Dickerson come from? Where did he come from? Seriously.
That was the best pickup.
In the history of football.
The best pickup. You know what C.J. Anderson gives? He gives us that guy inside that no one wants to tackle late in the game. You saw they didn't want to hit him?
No.
You know, they were all like, come on, man, y'all get him up there. Get him back there.
He's Jerome Bettis. He looks fat to me, but he runs hard.
He runs
low
hard.
Low and hard.
He a one-cut downhill.
One-cut downhill run. That's it.
He's not you. I mean, he's not like that. He is bowling ball.
My day is over with. Yeah. I said this and I keep saying it. It sounds like a repeat. Don't let 21 be. If we took the ball out of his hands, and we did, you know, you just shut him down and you put the ball in Dak's hands. You know, he made some great throws. I got to give him credit. He threw one that should have been a pick. What's his name? Ekabon?
The 50.
Ebukam. Hit him right in the hands.
He got fooled by zone blitz.
But hey,
it happens.
That's football. Mm-hmm. That's football.
Yep.
And you know what else happened? 273. That's all I got to say.
273. Let me remind everybody. My defense just one week earlier on Saturday night faced the number one rushing attack in all of pro football, Seattle's, and held it to 73 total yards after holding it to 22 yards in the first half. Just took it away. My defense against Drew Brees with Kamara and Ingram at Jerry World, remember this? Late November on a Thursday night, just shut down what at that point was one of the top rushing attacks, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Held it to 65 total rush yards in a 13-10 win. So don't tell me my defense doesn't have the talent or the ability. It wasn't about that. It's about desire. It's about want to. It's about motivation. My coaches lit no fire under my defense, while Wade Phillips really lit one under yours, because all they heard all week was, you have allowed a league worst 5.1 yards per carry. Am I right about that?
That's very
much true. That's a fact. That's a stat. I'm not exaggerating. I don't know how it happened, but that's what happened through 16 regular season games. And all of a sudden, those two studs in the middle said, you know what? We're done with this. We're tired of this. They came out and they just wanted the line of scrimmage worse than my offensive line did. And my defensive line did not want the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
it got owned by your offensive line, which must be way better than I thought it was.
You know
right?
what happened? You know when you guys lost this game? You went to Indy. Coach used to always tell us, son, don't put bad things on tape.
Well, that was 100. That was 178 rush yards.
Okay.
They did not care. They didn't show up, and I don't think they showed up for this game.
And what that showed the rank, because normally if you watch a team and you're like, hold on, that was the number one rushing team. They shut them down. Logic says we need to throw the ball because we can't run. But Sean McVay said, boy, jive.
Okay, he did. And I got to give him credit for that, because when you're the boy genius, you're the boy wonder, your temptation is like in the big shootout game with Kansas City.
Yep.
Just keep throwing it, yep. throwing it. And for once, he said, you know what? I can't do it. I can't. My ego can't supersede what's the reality of this game. And the reality is I got two running backs who are really good, because C.J. Anderson was running hot against Arizona and San Francisco in your last two games.
Yes,
but think
will.
About where he came from, Skip. He got cut by the Broncos. He was the Carolina picked him up. Then they deactivated him. Then they released him.
They cut him.
The Raiders signed him. And then you let him take him to practice, get him to practice.
He was there for 5 days. And John Gruden won another playoff game, right?
Executive of the year.
But in certain offenses, certain guys fit, and he fits in this offense.
Yep.
Because, you know, he doesn't have to be the guy.
Nope.
The main guy there is Todd Gurley. But
right
now, it's C.J. Anderson, because he looks that good. And another thing is that
he was waiting for you.
He said he was waiting for you, Skip.
Who's waiting
for him? He was waiting for you.
Where?
Right there. My little man here.
That guy's creepy. I got to tell you.
C.J.
That's a voodoo dog.
C.J. coming from the Broncos. He's one cut. He's downhill. He's nothing fancy.
Nope.
He's not going to be doing all this juking. But come...
And remember the debacle at Denver game 2 last year?
Yeah.
Remember when the Cowboys went to Denver?
Oh, he put 100 on y'all?
It was 118, I think. So again, your coach could look at that tape and say, well, he was killing them then. It's a little different defense with two different linebackers in there.
And he had a big in that Super Bowl run, Skip. He played really, really well. People forget that, how
he
well he played.
So why would Denver cut him? I don't get that. They just given him a big deal.
Well, money. They like
money.
Lindsay. They were Freeman.
Money.
And you, Skip, you look at it. He's never going to win the workout Olympics. He's never going to say, CJ, take your shirt off. And you say, boy, that joke I have done. If that's what
really?
If you want a guy that's toe up, he's not for you. But if you want a guy that you, hey, CJ, now, it's going to be one of those games. Mm-hmm. You're going to get 20 carries. It's going to probably be a hard 75, 80 yards.
Okay.
That's your guy.
And you're going to wet it. And you're going to wet it.
So, again.
You're right, Skip. I'm going to say one thing. You're right when you said that sometimes the coaches, the geniuses, they want to overthink it. They really do. Like when we lost to the Eagles, and we lost to, God, who else we lose to?
Saints.
To the Saints. We lost to the Saints. You know, I said, we need to run the
Bears.
Football.
Yeah.
The Bears.
Yeah.
You don't go down to Chicago and throw the football 44 times. Hmm. You run the football.
You do.
I kept saying all week this week, and I think Sean must have heard me. Run the football. Run it. C.J. Anderson, that is our secret weapon. Y'all saw it. I know this week, I know the Saints, they're going to we're not going to let that happen to us.
They will say that. And I think they won't let that happen. I think you're going to have to throw the football to win at New Orleans.
Ooh, we can do that.
So, back to what happened on Saturday night.
Okay.
Despite 273 rush yards, despite my quarterback not having much of Cole Beasley or much of Blake Jarwin, so he's down to two receivers. He's got Amari and he's got Gallup. And that's about it. Mm-hmm. And he hung in and hung on and made play after little play after big play after little play, and kept them afloat, and they did win the second half 15-10. So you got to give them, it looked like it had disaster, it looked like it had blowout written all over it, right? But what happened in the second half? He gets it to 8, and then he got it to 8 again because he just kept fighting. He will fight you to the finish. But there are two key turning point moments that I'm hanging on Jason Garrett. And he's probably going to be back because he announced today that Scott Linehan is going to be back.
Yep.
I don't like either one of them. I was disappointed in the whole coaching staff. But explain this one to me. So it's an 8-point game at the end of the third quarter. And Dak hits another third down pass that comes up a half yard short. So it's 4th and 1, and there's a quarter break. So the whole coaching staff can confer on this one. It's not just on Linehan. Jason Garrett, a former coordinator, former professional quarterback, backing up Troy Aikman, has time to input into this decision. And the decision they come up with, let's run Zeke straight up the gut.
Middle.
He's gone nowhere fast the whole game. I don't know if his footing was bad. You pointed out that, just stuck
him. Dante Fowler.
Dusted.
Just
no, that first run,
no,
DK in the first quarter.
Oh, he stuck him. He stuck him.
He did. And you could be right about that.
It's interesting.
Okay, so now we get to this is the crucial point because this is at your 35-yard line. He is on the move. He just completed 3 straight passes. So here we go. What do they call the most pathetically predictable run straight up the middle? And think about what it is. There's a rookie left guard. There's a backup center. There's no Travis Frederick. And the right guard, who is a former Pro Bowler, needs knee surgery. And he shouldn't have been playing to this point. And watch, he'll have knee surgery in the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And you run him straight in to the biggest two rocks in pro football, the two pillars, the two cornerstones in Aaron Donald and in Ndamukong Suh. The two most immovable objects in all of pro football are sitting right there. And not only does it get blown up, but Looney, the center, gets knocked back off the ball so hard, he makes the tackle on Zeke. He hits him right in the face, and Zeke falls backward. Okay? Why don't you let 4 do something? Why don't you fake it and let him run the read option or bootleg or a little rollout pass? What did Sean McVay call on the crucial play? Now I get to the next play. It's 3rd and 7 at your 28-yard line late in the game, and Dak is going to get the ball back again. This is the game. And I'm not betting against Dak Prescott if he gets the ball back there because it's down 8. We just seen him convert a 2-point conversion. And these two guys are a little queasy. They're just a little like, uh-oh, we don't want 4 to get it again.
I would.
Yeah, a little queasy. And what does Sean McVay call? A rollout off, he's under center, play action to C.J. Dickerson, right up the middle, and he rolls the other way. He rolls to his right. Is Jared Goff a running quarterback? Not really.
You know who really effed this play up?
Well, the
your
safety,
boy Jeff Heath.
Jeff Heath. He goes Jeff inside. Heath. I don't know where he's going. He just wanders inside like he's
If he plays his responsibility, he stays outside. He tackles.
Okay, but I got to tell you, you have taken out the kid who gave the spirit and life to that defense all year. Leighton Vander Esch. Is he sick? I don't know. I don't care.
He was sick of tackling CJ.
Okay. You know what? Maybe they decided, because he's a little tall and skinny right now, maybe he was too light in the you-know-what. Woo! Maybe they just decided, we got to get the old pro in there, Sean Lee. Sean Lee hasn't played football in 1.5 years. And all of a sudden, in the pivotal, crucial game of the year, at the key moment, you put Sean Lee in for Vander Esch, and Sean Lee takes Higby on a little, it's just a little down and out. And if you're that guy that you used to be, because he used to be really good, you come off Higby and you make that play.
That ain't his job, though.
Okay?
Skip, you say do your job.
Okay, this is not a do your job play. This is a football instinct. This is a star play where if you're that guy, you come off Higby because you know he's got to run 7 yards, not 2 yards or 3 yards. You got to run 7 yards. He gets 11 yards. And if you see it, Higby just sort of shields him off.
Yeah.
Sean Lee has to watch, look back, and say, aha, he is tucked and he is running.
What do they talk? Why are you looking in the backfield?
Looking in the backfield.
Look at your man.
Yeah.
This is the play of the game. This is the one where if you're a Hall of Famer, you just make the play. Again,
yeah, when I didn't do no ad lib, okay. When they called me, I ran the route.
You run the play.
But you guys are offensive players. But if you're a defensive player, you know and I know the studs, the immortals, they're the ones who on instinct alone – well, my assignment is this, but I got to do that. Because if Sean Lee comes up and tackles him at 6 yards, we're having a different conversation.
We going for it. You're
not going for it at your 34-yard line.
He did it before early in the game.
Oh, please.
Now what do you do? You wouldn't go for it.
On that fourth and inches, fourth and one, mm-hmm. To me, was that a bad call? Yes. I would have ran. I said, man, they're going to probably run a read option.
That's what I said.
I said, because they go up the middle. But you know, all year, now you got to think about this. If you watch the Rams all year, people have been running up the middle.
5.1.
They have been running up the middle. So that's a good call, too. And if they make it, if they run, you say, great call. That was a great call. Great call. Look at that, a tough run by Zeke.
They didn't make it. I ain't having none of this.
But like you said, like.
But at least run him off tackle. No. Give him an angle.
You know what? In those kind of football games, the worst thing for a running back to do is get to running at this way.
Yep.
Because your power is straight down. Just like C.J. Anderson, straight downhill. That's where all the power is. I understood the play, but what I was afraid of was the read option. I'm like, man, I hope they don't run Dak. Because I know they're going to bite on Zeke, and Dak going to tip around the outside. But. Just like Jason Garrett did.
Oh.
He did right up the middle.
Don't
right up.
Always trust Don't Jason Garrett him. To do the wrong thing.
And
hey,
you
wrong
got
time.
Him again for another
I
three,
do.
4 years.
I'm stuck with
he even have time to get to everything in this. Eric, thank you for these.
Thank you.
No mercy.
Talk about Dak Prescott Ooh. And the Cowboys. Well, they lost to the Rams Saturday night. Failed to advance to the NFC Championship game. On the positive side, Dak threw a touchdown pass and rushed for another, but the Cowboys were only 1 for 10 on third down. After the game, Dak said, quote, we weren't able to execute and it hurt. So, Shannon, how would you grade Dak's performance from the weekend?
I gave him a C-minus because I thought he was very average to slightly below average. He doesn't
C-minus?
He doesn't push the ball down the field. Wow. Jenny, he had 32 attempts. Mm-hmm. Only 4 traveled 15 yards or more.
Mm.
Only 4 traveled 15 yards or more. Skip, you know what? I don't like to do video because, you know, sometimes video. Yeah. But, hey, DJ, I want you to drop that track for me. Because, really, he should have had a pick 6. Mm. I mean, I don't know what the coverage. The coverage tells you that the linebacker lined up, he's going to buzz the flat. That's what it tells you he's
but
going to do.
It's a zone blitz. It's just you get fooled.
Why you get fooled? Because
he lined up to rush the pass.
No, he didn't.
Yes, Ooh. He did.
That formation tells me he's going to buzz the flat.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Dak hit him right between the numbers.
Mm.
And he dropped it.
How many has he caught in his life?
Whoa, Skip.
Yep.
Hold on, Skip.
Ebukon, how many has he caught? Is he a pass catcher? Is he an interceptor? No.
Hold on. Didn't he catch it?
He did. Yeah, it hit him right in the hands. The ball traveled like 3 yards and stuck right in his hands. And he walked in. And guess who threw that? My homeboy.
Jenny.
That's his only one.
I could have swore. Jenny said Shannon.
I did.
You need help. I'm helping.
No, I don't want you to help.
I'm helping.
Jenny, get him under
Make
control.
Make your point. It's the Cowboys. It's hard to control him. Shannon.
This is what we
what
know.
What do you got?
When Zeke, this year, when Zeke isn't running, all you got to do is beat the Cowboys.
I thought this was about Saturday night. Are we giving him a letter grade for the whole year?
No. Cowboys are 0-5 when Zeke is held under 75 yards this season.
Mm.
0-7 in his career.
Mm.
So in other words, what we're trying to tell you, Skip, and I've been trying to tell you, and everybody's been telling you, this is a running football team.
Mm.
And when you shut off Zeke Elliott, and you put the ball in Dak's hand and say, Dak, deliver us from evil.
Mm, he did.
Either he's unwilling or incapable
of
doing that because here he had another golden opportunity to show me. He had an opportunity to shut Shannon Sharpe up and to say, you are a liar.
Mm.
But he didn't do it.
Mm.
They shut off Zeke and what did he do? Dinking and dacking. All the big fish are in the deep. I've never seen anybody catch a whale at the shore. You got to go way out.
Do you want to drop the track of Gallup over the shoulder catch for a touchdown? Why didn't you drop that track?
Hold on.
Oh, those don't count, right? Sweep those under your
carpet. I could have swore. Of Dak's 32 attempts, only 4 were 15 yards or more down the field. Well, so one would assume.
How many quarterbacks do more than that? That's most quarterbacks. Dak Prescott this year had a higher yards per attempt than Aaron Rodgers.
I could have swore.
You need help.
I could have sworn my touchdown. We're not talking about a lot of quarterbacks. I'm not grading a lot of quarterbacks. I'm grading this quarterback.
God.
So thank you. That's unnecessary, Skip. Mm. That is very, very unnecessary. Mm. I'm so disappointed in you this morning for interrupting. So unbecoming. Jared Goff played better. You know why?
Jared Goff played better?
It's not easy. It's not easy playing the quarterback position and you're asked to turn around and hand the ball off 47, 48 times and then on third down come up and try to make throws or try to make throws when you've handed the ball off 5, 6, 7 times in a row and they ask you to turn around and make throws after that.
Mm.
So it's not as easy. But at the end of the day, now most quarterbacks tell me, you know, I heard it. I've even heard Dak say it. He don't care about no QBR. He don't care about no touchdown. He don't care about yards. Mm. He care about them dubs. And he came to my restaurant.
Oh, really?
Mm.
And had some of this with me.
I served some of that. I tell you what, you know he didn't come by. You know who came by and had him a good old time? Todd Gurley.
Yeah, good.
Todd Gurley came by and had him a good old time.
Have fun with Todd Gurley.
Yeah. Who's the best guy? Who's the best running back, Skip Bayless? Who's the best running back, Skip Bayless?
C.J. Dickerson. That's what I'm going to call him, C.J. Dickerson. Right?
I like that.
That's who he is. Is he not? He probably shut down your restaurant, right?
So you ain't going to get Todd Gurley no credit, huh?
I give him some credit. He split carries.
Yeah.
He didn't have as many carries as the other guy
did. Didn't need to.
Huh?
See, that's what you do. You let C.J. beat him up, then you come clean him up. Mm. Ta-da!
So,
what's your grade, Skip?
I'm going to be really hard on Dak Prescott and give him an A-minus, because I should give him an A.
Get out of here! An A-minus for what?
He was extraordinary with his resilience and his refuse to lose and his warrior spirit and his fight to the finish. I've never seen anything quite like it. They should have gotten run off that grass that night at the Coliseum.
I can't believe
it. And he kept them in this game. They're going to the fourth quarter down 8, and they got the ball all the way at the 35 because he's gone boom, boom, boom. And it's he went boom on third down to Noah Brown. It was a beautiful throw to the sideline. But Noah Brown, young receiver, couldn't quite fight for the first down, so it's 4.5 yards. Is it Dak Prescott's fault that they took the ball out of his hands and put it back in Zeke's hands? Is it his fault that they called the dumbest play in the history of 4th and short?
But you didn't say that. Hold on, Skip.
His fault?
No, it's not his fault.
Because if you convert that, I promise you he's going to go score another touchdown.
But Skip.
And by the way, can we just look at the big picture here? Dak Prescott goes 20 of 32 for 266, and he doesn't have the ball very much because they just get crushed in time of possession. It's 38 to 22. That's just extraordinary. So let's look at how much he did with how little he had to do it. And in the 266, he throws for one touchdown. He runs for another touchdown. He throws a two-point conversion, and I get it that was a potential interception. He just flat out got fooled by the classic zone blitz, which the Rams do not do very much of. When I watch the Rams, I haven't seen them do much of that all year. They just line up with their front four and come after you. And he's a stand-up pass rusher, and usually he's just coming, and he dropped back. And the ball goes right to him because he was trying to force it to Amari on Tlaib. So the point is, I'll give you that one, and I'll give you he missed a throw.
To Gallup.
He threw it behind him, and he threw it a little behind Cole Beasley, though he might have been going to Gallup behind Cole. I couldn't really tell. And Cole couldn't cut the way he usually cuts. So I'm going to give you 3 bad throws, but how about all the great throws? Because his QBR, they don't fool around. He hasn't gotten many good QBRs this year.
He hasn't been very good this year.
He had 84 against the Rams at the Coliseum. Jared Goff had a 57. He crushed him in QBR.
You guys it was a home game for you, remember? They said the crowd was 60-40.
Yeah.
So it was a home game.
Okay, well, it's a home away from home game, but it's still away. It's away.
True.
So let's look at this. The most misleading stat I can ever remember out of a box score was that the Dallas Cowboys went 1-for-10 on third down. Can we dissect that, please?
Go ahead, dissect it.
Dak Prescott completed 4 passes on third down. So he had one already that he converted. He completed 4 passes that got them within 0.5 yard of the stick.
But Skip, they don't do it like that.
Time out. He completed those balls. So it's misleading because 3 of the 4 times they converted on fourth down. So you almost have to give him a third down conversion because he completed balls.
Okay, so he's 4-14.
Okay.
Is that good?
Okay. I'm still going. Then there was an early third down, a 3rd and 5 from his 30-yard line. And could we please see this to Amari Cooper? Because nobody mentioned this that I heard, but he hits Amari right in the hands on a little crossing route. Here we go. Watch this. Watch. Hits him right in the hands. It goes right through his hands. Yeah. You have to catch that.
Yeah.
He's still running. You have to catch this. He hits him right in the hands. Did anybody say anything about that? Hit him right in the hands. Huh?
Oh, wait a minute.
Okay.
Hold on.
There's another third down conversion. So that would have been, so that would get him up to 6. And then how about the in the grasp call when Lyle Collins, quote unquote, tackled him, his own man tackled him. There's another one. So that's one that he did convert,
so you want him to
plus
change the
four,
rule.
Plus five, so plus six.
Would you believe
Dak Prescott actually went 6 of 10 on third down, and the stat says 1 of 10.
Skip.
That's how good he was.
Stop it, Skip. So
now
you want the NFL stat people to change it. If you come up within a half yard, you give them a first down. And if the guy dropped, how many times have somebody dropped the ball on third down? You don't know. You don't do this for any other quarterback other than Dak Prescott.
I'm just showing you what he did do.
No, what he didn't do. What he did do was 1 for 10 on third down. Well, that's what he did.
Oh, okay.
That's fact.
The facts, if you really look hard, if you want the truth, if you use your eye test, he was extraordinary on third down.
So
he was actually better than most people ever on third down.
Help me understand this, Skip. Of all the time, all the years that we've seen guys drop passes on third down,
You've never
made this excuse for their quarterback.
I'm just showing you what he did.
What did he do?
Everything was fourth and short. It would be like a quarter of a yard, a half yard, and they converted three out of four.
No, Skip. That's not how they do it.
Yes,
it. They say a third down attempt or they say a fourth down attempt.
Most of the times when you go 1 and 10, what did Russell Wilson go, like 3 of 12?
Yeah.
He was just awful. He didn't even come close.
Russell's awful. Mm-hmm. My guy was getting close, though. Mm-hmm. He was close to the first down, so they should have gave it to him.
So Dak Prescott, for a third time, outplayed Jared Goff. Preseason game at Jerry World.
He run out of revenge. I don't know. He's running out of revenge, Skip. Mm. So what's the revenge now?
Well, there's no revenge now, except you could get rid of the head coach and the coordinator. Maybe that would help. Maybe that would take you to the next
level. Stop firing everybody. Those guys, they deserve their job. Now, stop. I want you to stop. But, Skip, I want you to stop this.
And if the head coach hadn't taken out Leighton Van Der Esch late in the game get a stop, wouldn't you love to have seen? No, you wouldn't. But I would love to have seen Dak Prescott with the football in his hands with 2 minutes left at maybe his 40-yard line. Because that's what it would have been.
He had the ball for 20 minutes in his hands. Why you want to see him with two? If he didn't do anything with 20, he's not going to do anything with two.
Help me out. How does your defense give up 273 yards rushing yet throughout the second half, you're within 8 points? You know why? Because the quarterback just keeps making plays.
Hold on.
How does your running back go 20 carries for only 47 yards, and you're only down eight, going to the fourth quarter, down eight with 2 minutes left? How do you do that? Because your quarterback kept – you know what? I just changed my grade. I'm going to give him an A. Seriously, I got to give him an A. That's extraordinary. He's the most over-criticized, unfairly criticized quarterback in pro football.
If you don't mind
he
me,
did this.
If you don't mind me asking, Skip. In the first quarter, when the Rams ran about 10 plays inside the 10-yard line and the Cowboys defense stopped them, what was Dak doing in that?
He should have been playing safety because they could have used him. He would have stopped the run.
How about he mastered the quarterback position before he starts branching out?
Okay.
When he learns how to play that consistently, then we can talk about maybe branching him out.
This should have been a blowout, and it wasn't because of my quarterback.
No. Hold on. We don't talk about blowouts. Mm-hmm. You said you had a feeling, and I told you. Now, I told you to wear that black suit. Mm-hmm. Now, I tried to tell you. And I wanted you to have – I say, Skip Bayless, now, Monday when you come in here, I need you to have that same
I'm
energy.
I'm having more energy than I had on Friday.
The millennials, they call it synergy. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what you're going to call it, but I need you to run it with that same tenacity.
I called it synergy in the 60s, I think.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I want you to run it with that same tenacity. Yep. I want you to talk about the Rams and what they did, the demolition job they did to your Cowboy. Mm-hmm. I want you to talk about that.
I want you to talk about how you predicted that the Rams would run for 273, because I didn't hear a peep out of you about that.
I predicted the Rams would win. And anything that comes along with that, I'll gladly accept it.
Skip, I don't know if you're going to like this, but I just wanted you to know Jason Garrett did say this morning Linehan will be back.
Will be back.
That was this morning.
He will be back. No, sigh. That's unnecessary, Skip.
That's so unnecessary. It's hard to hear. He wants possible changes.
Mm-hmm. Why you
I
want? I want some changes,
too. At this
too.
Point, it'd be frustrating. Mm-hmm. I feel you.
Let's move. You know what's going to happen.
Not helping the case.
And walking to him going to be healthy next year?
Oh, speaking of.
Yeah, you need help with that. Yeah.
Let's talk about what happened.
At least I know Dak can win the East with Scott Linehan. That's all I know.
No, he
can win the East, yeah. Other than that, I don't know.
And walking to him, what did he land you?
Yeah, limping to him is back.
Stop!
I'm happy.
What happened?
You know what? He's got no backstop anymore. He's got no backup. No mercy.
And Tom Brady, he's moving on to his 8th straight AFC Championship game after his Patriots easily beat the Chargers yesterday. Brady threw for over 300 yards with a TD pass in the win. Next up is a trip to Kansas City, where the Patriots are already a three-point underdog despite beating the Chiefs back in October. Yesterday, Brady had an interesting response when he was asked about the upcoming rematch. Let's hear it.
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games, so we'll see. It'll be fun.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Uh-huh. We're joined once again by Eric Dickerson. Eric, you have been critical of Brady all year, but how impressive was he yesterday?
Well, all he had to say was Eric and Shannon. I know y'all been critical.
That's
all.
That's what we're talking about.
He was thinking Eric and Shannon.
Look, Tom Brady's a great quarterback. I'm not taking that away from him at all. I mean, great quarterback. It's hard to beat the Patriots in Foxborough, especially this time of year. I'm really disappointed the way that the Chargers play, but, you know, the Patriots are the Patriots and the Chargers are Chargers. The Chargers are the Chargers for a reason. I think that he played a great football game. I mean, he had 343 yards passing. I think he was
27 to 44.
Yeah, something like that. I
mean, 34-44.
Yeah. 34-44. I mean, he had one touchdown. I think the big factor in that football game, and the Patriots are not known for this, is running the football, Sonny Michel. I mean, he had 100.
Well, they will on occasion.
Yeah, but their runs are mostly checkdowns. That's what they do. That's what they do the best. But you have a running back that has three touchdowns, 129 yards in the playoffs. You know this, that pretty much you're going to win the football game because it gave a balance. I mean, Edelman, he had 150. He had 151. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to say he was phenomenal. But I'll say this. Tom Brady does not play games just to win playoff games. He's playing to win the Super Bowl. He wants to prove all of us,
you're right,
all of us wrong. That's what this is all about. And I'll say this to all the Boston fans. As I watch them on social media, they're after me. we want a rematch from in LA. We want them back again because they cheated us. They cheated us. They cheated us. They know they cheated us.
Interesting.
Back in New Orleans. They watched our film, so we want some more of them. But how did Tom Brady play yesterday? Fantastic. You have to give him all the credit in the world. Even still, I still say he's an old man for football. Just for football. But he still can throw that football. You can still throw it.
You know, for me, he played unbelievable. I'm disappointed. I'm not disappointed in the way Tom Brady is going to be Tom Brady. I'm disappointed in the Chargers because they made no adjustments. You know what you have to do. You have to pressure Tom Brady, reroute, get hands, get physical with his receivers. Well, and normally, Edie, what do they say? We go in there, we're going to stop the opposing team's run. We're going to make them one-dimensional. Well, if you give the team, they run the ball with Sonny Michel whenever they want to. He can throw the ball 5 yards. He had 44 attempted passes. 37 of those passes traveled less than 10 yards. So, in other words, he's doing all this fishing around the edge. And you're not going to do anything. You're not going to try to, you know, reroute the receivers. He threw, two or three balls over 15 yards. Hey, that's not Tom Brady. Tom Brady's going to take what you give him. I fought the Chargers for that. He was comfortable. He was too comfortable. Didn't get pressure. He got knocked down twice. What am I supposed to do with that? You don't sack him. You don't knock him down. You don't reroute his receivers. You don't stop the run. And you play zone defense and guys can go to vacated areas. And what did you expect to happen?
Loss.
Listen, I think the thing is that when we measure Tom Brady, when you're great, and this is what I tell people, or you say this guy, when you measure Tom Brady against a 32-year-old Tom Brady, you don't measure him against anybody else that's currently playing. You measure him against the greatness that he set for himself. Same thing with LeBron, same thing with Jordan. You don't compare great greats to other players that's currently playing. You measure them against their younger self. So that's what ED and I, when we say that Tom Brady is getting old and he's not the same player, that was standing. Tom Brady was virtuoso. And am I surprised they won? No, but I'm surprised in how convincing and how thoroughly they won the game.
I tried to warn both of you guys on Friday. I told you there's one man in all of sports you do not bet against, especially in Foxborough, Massachusetts, and it's number 12 for the New England Patriots.
Special.
Tom Brady was better than ever yesterday. He looked 32 or 25 or whatever number you want to hang on him because he's just never been better than he was in this game. It was virtually flawless. That was artist at work. He sliced and he diced and he surgically just carved up a zone defense that basically just sat in his zones all afternoon.
That's death by a thousand paper cuts.
It is that. But to me, I see no diminished velocity. It's the same as ever. I saw lasers thrown by Tom Brady. I saw as quick a release as I've ever seen from Tom Brady. I saw touch and feel and quick readability that was up there with the best of Tom Brady. It was something. And this man is on a new mission because he's never been an underdog since that first Super Bowl you think you got cheated in. Thanks. I had to process all that. St. Louis Rams, L.A. Rams.
I know.
But I got you. But that's the last time he's been an underdog. And that was a long time ago. He's been a prohibitive favorite much of his career, if not all of it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, everybody is discounting and doubting Tom. And everybody says, oh, it's signs of age. He's washed up. He's over the hill. And I want to thank both of you for saying that because I need you to keep on keeping on. I need you to doubt him. I need you to tell the world that there's no way he gets out of Kansas City alive because it's going to be too cold for the 41-year-old and his hands are going to get, they're going to shrink and his receivers are going to get roughed up by those Kansas City DBs.
Well, I'll tell you what, yep. If you do what San Diego did, he's going to the ninth Super Bowl.
I'm
he might go anyway, but I'm saying you got to try something.
I'm here to tell you there's more talent on the Chargers defense than there is on Kansas City's. Maybe the plan will be different. Maybe they'll play with more confidence because they have had their members left on that defense who have had some success against Brady in the opener 2 years ago, you recall, and then we can't go back to the 2014 game.
Well, Justin Houston was on the roster then.
He would be there, yeah, for sure. And Eric Berry's got a calf issue, so I don't know if he's going to be able to play, but he would know.
If he got a calf issue, he ain't going to be playing this 80 degrees.
Not in that cold.
Probably
that is
not.
Tough. Yeah.
But this is a new deal for Tom Brady because he realized he's a shrewd operator, and he understands history. And he realizes this could be his crowning achievement. If he can get this team and this defense and this lack of receivers to another Super Bowl and win it, would you guys not have to sit back and say, I got to give it up?
I mean, look, we give it up anyway. You can't say that a guy that has been to 8 Super Bowls, what has he won, 6?
5.
5 Super Bowls is not, if not the greatest quarterback. I mean, it's only one other guy that I argue with, and that's Joe Montana. I mean, and that's...
He's at the table. You're talking about
you can
the greatest.
Go this. You can go that with either one of those guys. I mean, would I take him? Yes, I would. He's a great... The thing about Tom Brady is he's a great competitor, and that's what you want out of your quarterback. Yesterday, he took everything we said and said, you know what? I'm going to show these guys. Mm-hmm.
But I thought he said, what did anybody say outside this building?
Doesn't matter. I heard that before.
He don't listen.
He's got eyes and ears.
Someone's listening.
I ain't little old Shay, so I mean, we better keep it going now.
Yeah. And he doesn't listen to just anybody. It's got to come from a Hall of Famer.
So that's good.
But when this Hall of Famer, who's kind of an old-ass man himself.
I'm an old-ass man. I'm an old-ass man.
You own it.
When he says Tom Brady's an old-ass man who shouldn't be playing football.
I didn't say he shouldn't be playing. Time is coming to an end.
Oh.
Time is coming to an end. It comes for all of us.
He didn't say he was an old man for football.
No, I got it.
It's like I'm old to be in a club. If I'm in a club of 20 years, man, you're kind of old for that. You're old for that, Daddy.
I'm not.
Old
club Shay should be popping.
Yeah. You can't stay up past 10 o'clock.
Okay. Thank you. I keep it crunk till about 9:30.
Till about 9:30, you're crazy. You brought up Montana. He's got 12 more playoff wins than Montana.
But the playoffs were different. They reseeded. They reseeded in 1990.
It was different back in those days. Yeah. And let me tell you one thing. It was that game when we played was a lot more physical. You could really hit the quarterback.
Yeah.
Hit him and stand over him, and hey, that's it. It's a different era. And one thing in the playoffs, Joe Montana never threw an interception. Not one.
In the Super Bowl.
No, Super Bowl, sorry.
Super Bowl. Yeah.
Not one.
I give credit, though. But Skip, Tom has not been an underdog in the Super Bowl. He's been underdog in playoff games. He's the underdog in the championship game against Denver both times.
That's true. We'll see. Barely.
And when they played in Indy. When they Peyton first, he was an underdog. But in the Super Bowl,
I'm talking about for the year. Like this is the time when everybody's saying it's over for New England.
Right.
All right, Eric, good to have you. Thanks. I'm glad you're still wearing your beads.
Of course, I'm still wearing my beads.
No mercy. He
The defending champion Eagles were a big underdog in New Orleans yesterday, but they got off to a hot start. Nick Foles threw a long TD pass, and the Eagles led 14-0 in the first quarter, but they didn't score a point after that. And the combo of Drew Brees and Michael Thomas were unstoppable. The Eagles had a chance to win it late in the game, but Foles was picked off for the second time when the ball went right through Alshon Jeffrey's hands. The Saints won 20-14. We'll host the Rams in the NFC Championship game Sunday on Fox. Let's take a listen to Brees and Jeffrey after the game.
I take that loss. That's on me. Let all my teammates down. City of Philadelphia, that's on me. I'll take that. I already know what type of player I am. That won't destroy me. It is what has happened to the best. I mean, guys miss game when the shot drop, touchdowns all the time. It happens to the best. It's just, you live and you learn.
They got off to a fast start. They're a great team. Nick Foles has done a phenomenal job for them. And, you know, we knew it was going to be different than last time.
Shannon, what was the difference yesterday?
The Eagles had an opportunity to deliver the coup de grace. Skip, they're up 14-0. They get the ball back. And Nick Foles, Skip, he is not a check down guy. He doesn't do a lot of nibbling. He goes for the home run. And he went for the home run with Zach Ertz. He underthrew the ball a little bit, and Marshawn Lattimore intercepted it. He had Smallwood in the flat that would have given him a first down. And then I think the real turning point of the ball game, and just what we know about Sean Payton, he's always looking to steal a possession. Eagles got it diagnosed, Skip. They're thinking about this. They're in what we call a defense state, punt safe. He leaves his defense on the field, take a linebacker out, Skip, and got the return in there just in case they punt it. So they're expecting this, but you got to give the Saints credit because they were able to get enough push to let the up back get enough of the first down. They go down the field, they score a touchdown. If you look at it, Nick Foles in the first quarter, Skip, he's 8 of 9, 113 yards, a touchdown, a touchdown run and a touchdown rush. That's 14 points. The final three quarters, he's 10 of 22, 88 yards, 2 INTs. He couldn't finish them. Now, Saints, this is why you go at home field, Skip. You know you fall down 14-0 on the road. More times than not, it's good night, Irene. I know you don't know who Irene is, but it's good night. Mm-hmm. But they were at home. Crowd kept them in the game. They get that first down. But I can assure you, you don't want to tempt fate too many times. You definitely don't want to tempt that fate with the Rams coming in. But what happened was is that you remember last year, Skip, when Nick Foles went on this the Eagles and they went on this run? What could they also do? Run the football. They had LeGarrette Blount. They had Jay Ajayi. And they could pound the ball. So they get a lead. Mm-hmm. They could pound the ball with those two guys. They have no resemblance of a run game. 16 rushes, 49 yards. That's not nearly good enough. And it allowed because you kept throwing the ball, and you allowed Drew Brees to get his rhythm. Before I turn it over to you, Skip, I want to know one thing. Eagles, how many times Michael Thomas caught 12 passes for a 171 in the touchdowns. How many times are you going to let him run the end cut? Skip, how many times are they going to let him run that route? They're going to let him push up to 12, break in and catch the ball at 14. How many times are they going to let him do it?
He's been doing it all year long.
Gee, I'm like, my night job, Skip, you know, sometimes I moonlight. I'm over there with D. I'm like, time. I look at time.
Night job.
I'm like, end cut again, end cut. All they're running, Skip, you're playing Tampa too. You vacate use a tight end or a second receiver to vacate the linebacker, and then he pushes up and come in. Dude, can you please stop?
Maybe that's why Drew Brees should win MVP. He's got one target, and he just keeps throwing to the same guy.
No, Skip.
Huh?
No, Skip. If you don't take it away, I'm going to keep going to it.
Well, you don't think everybody's tried to take that away the whole year?
No, double him.
I'm sure he's been doubled nearly.
Well, I'm going to make it. We're going to find out. Because I know I'm taking that away. I'm not going to. Skip, no, Coach Belichick says, I'm not going to let your best player beat me. Now, if you got a bunch of best players, that makes it really, really hard. I mean, you got Tyreek Hill, you got Travis Kelce, you got Watkins, you have a lot of, you know, weapons, Skip. It's hard. But really, when you think about it in the pass game, now, Kamara's a little tough, too, now. He's tough to deal with coming out of the backfield. But that's what happened, Skip. They got out to a big lead, and they were not able to build on it. 14 in the first quarter, and then the final three, they get zilch.
This time, Jenny, I was really a good boy, and I just kept biting my tongue over here. I did not interrupt one time. I wanted to.
I was worried
badly,
a little bit.
And my tongue is now bleeding because I've bitten so hard
okay,
through
get
my
it
tongue.
All out.
Though that happened Saturday night.
I like that taste.
That happened Saturday night.
No.
My first point is, I believe that several members of the Eagles hierarchy were somewhat relieved when that football went right through Alshon's hands into Lattimore's hands.
Sure.
And that ended Nick Foles' run in Philadelphia, or Foladelphia, or whatever you want to call it, because that was the end of that. And their worst nightmare would also be their biggest dream was that he would just keep on keeping on and win this year's Super Bowl, because if that happened,
yeah,
you'd just be stuck.
Yeah.
I don't know what you'd do, but I just don't know how you could let go of Nick Foles.
You might have to franchise him and eat $25-30 million for a backup.
So I think there was some relief that that ball went through Alshon's hands. And he'd be the last guy I would think it would go through his hands in that moment. It was just a shocking end to Foles' magic.
He glanced. He saw 40. He saw that linebacker skip.
He did. He saw him coming. But remember, that was 2nd and 10 all the way to New Orleans' 27-yard line. That game had 21-20 written all over it. It just felt like Foles' magic was about to overcome the New Orleans voodoo or whatever's in that building that's generated on Bourbon Street. Because that pass was right on the button.
Yeah.
That would have been a 7 or 8
yard
game.
It's gonna be like 3rd and 2.
Okay, all right. And I'm not betting against Nick Foles in that moment until that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back to what you said. Nick Foles was magical in the first quarter. He was just magical. And he played the way he played against Jenny's Vikings and against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl. He's just flinging rainbows all over the
home
lot.
Runs.
Yeah,
he
home
knows
runs.
Guy.
And he's dropping them out of the rafters into Jordan Matthews' hands from
your
Vanderbilt
guy.
University. Thank you very much. And yet, it's now 2nd and 8 at the Philadelphia 48, early second quarter, and you're up 14-0. Nick Foles goes for the throat because his head coach wrote a book in the offseason called Fearless.
Right.
Am I right?
Yep.
And he radiates his head. He you can't see it in his body language, but he's built for that head coach because, man, he likes to throw. You want to talk about throwing deep. He's going to go for it at all costs. And in this case, he had a 6'5" tight end on a corner who's really good, but he is all of 6 feet tall. So Zach Ertz has 5 inches on Marshawn Lattimore, and he throws it up, and I thought it was a pretty good throw. I thought it was up for Zach Ertz. I thought Zach Ertz could have gone over.
He has him, Skip. He has him beat. If he just throws it, look, Ertz is behind him.
He threw a jump ball instead of a deep ball.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
Because if he tries the deep ball, if he tries to lead him, he's just thinking, I got 6'5 on 6 feet because he's got a corner. He's not a safety. Okay?
But see, 7 would have dropped that thing in on me because he lead me.
All right. Okay, but you weren't a jump ball artist. That wasn't what you did.
I went 6'5".
Okay? And I don't know how much of a leaper Marshawn is, but I assume he can really jump because he got up for that. I looked up his combine last night just to see. He went 38.5 in his vertical. I don't even know how great that is.
That is.
But
that's
pretty good.
That's over 3 feet.
Right? It's pretty good.
Like, man, I mean, he's, you know.
Hey, but is that kid not – I think he's the best corner in football. On a regular basis, a playmaker, does he not get his hands on the football?
He had an off year this year, Skip.
I don't know.
Started reading the press clippings.
Boy, I don't know. I thought this
was one of his better games that he's played, having seen a lot of New Orleans games. I thought he's better than what he showed the first half this season.
So I'm going to give Nick Foles this break. I think this has happened very quietly, and most people have not fixated on this. But do you realize over the last 9 games, the New Orleans defense – is 2nd in points allowed only to the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2nd. Hmm. It's been extraordinary. It leads the NFL over the last 9 games in takeaways with 18. So they are taking the ball away like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Drew Brees and the offense struggled down the stretch, the defense, well, at Dallas, it was 13-10, right? So it was
that defense only gave up 9 points to
Carolina. So they just kept on keeping on, but the offense was barely overcoming the greatness of the defense,
right?
So I think this defense is really loaded.
Yeah.
It's talented, it's running hot, it runs and hits, and I think I don't think the Rams will go for 273 rush yards. I could be wrong, but
I don't think so either, Skip. But I don't think anybody thought we'd see a 2014 ball game. We thought both teams would get into the upper 20s. I think you and I both picked New Orleans to win the game.
Yep.
But I didn't see no 2014 type ball game.
So actually, I'm not surprised that Nick Foles through the middle of the game struggled. But because you can't even audible there. It is so loud. You know how crazy that building is. So you take away a lot what an offense can do. But when he finally zeroed in the fourth quarter, they started to move the ball.
Right.
And it took Alshon that blunder, that shocking, unexpected, uncharacteristic blunder. Not that he hasn't dropped passes. He just doesn't drop that pass.
Right.
He's a big-time clutch receiver.
Yeah.
So that was and to his credit, he just sat there for what looked like 45 minutes after the game.
It's tough.
He owned it, and he owned it, and he owned it. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's on me, it's on me, it's on me. And he said, I'll be thinking about this the whole offseason. He will be thinking about it the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Because that's a rough one.
The Eagles need to get him a running back, Skip.
Well, they do. But they still, it was only 20-14. I agree with you. I mean, Nick Foles got him that far with no running game at New Orleans.
What you think walking to him was doing?
You know what? They are going to take a big step back.
No, they're not. Stop saying that.
They just will, because I don't think the team believes in him the way they believe in this guy.
You know what, Skip? They're going to take a step back and be 11-5 and win the division next year.
You think so?
You know what you want some do?
Are you going to give me more?
You want some
to give me more?
Right now, the Eagles over the Eagles. I'll take the Eagles. Who you taking?
Carson Wentz lost twice to Dak
Prescott. I don't care if he lost
four times. I love it. I'll take three cases right now.
Whew. Okay.
I'll take three.
Hold on.
I'll take three.
Now, hold on. Okay. You got the Cowboys for three cases. Mm-hmm. I got the Eagles. If neither wins the division, nobody wins,
okay,
right?
That's okay, that's fair.
Okay.
I win. You guys
Do you realize you already lost the same bet this year?
I'm going to win it then.
And my team only is going to get better. You realize I have the youngest team in pro football? The Dallas Cowboys are the youngest team. You don't think they're going to get better?
Whew. We're already betting about
They were young last year.
You were doing so well, and then you just gave me more do.
I'm going to get it back.
You know,
2019
one day on Saturday, you actually had me down two cases. But I knew I had Tom Brady in my back pocket.
So?
Two cases on Tom
back.
Brady.
I get
we're
it
even.
Back.
No blood.
I get it back.
Yeah.
Guess what? I'm going to get it back this week.
Okay.
I got a pending bet on LeBron that's back
Whole
pocket
Whole different
also.
Discussion.
What? No.
I got that free throw bet. No
mercy. And back to the NFL we go. The Chiefs had no problem beating the Colts in the snow Saturday, and they made history in the process. Casey became the first team in playoff history with a rushing touchdown by a running back, wide receiver, and quarterback in the same game. On the defensive side, the Chiefs sacked Andrew Luck three times, and they will now host the AFC Championship game for the first time ever on Sunday against the Patriots. Mm. Shannon. Mm-hmm. How impressive were the Chiefs?
I thought it was one of their most impressive games, Skip, given that Mahomes didn't play particularly well. Normally, he has to be extraordinary in order for them to win. And since Kareem Hunt, who was the third leading rusher at the time of his suspension and ultimate dismissal, they haven't been able to run the ball with any consistency. But they ran the ball for 180 yards, 5.5 yards a carry. I was also surprised. I believe the Indianapolis Colts, and I think you'll agree with me on this, Skip, they have the best offensive line in football.
And I thought so.
And for them, and what happened, they fell behind, so they weren't able to run it. They ran it for 5 yards a carry, but they didn't have enough rush attempts. Mm-hmm. But the amount of pressure that they were able to generate on Andrew Luck, sacked him three times, almost picked him, got a strip sack. So I thought overall Kansas City played well, given that their defense isn't very good, especially against the pass. They don't do particular – teams don't run the ball because why am I going to run it when I can just throw it whenever I want to? I thought the key moment of the game, Kansas City was in complete control of this ball game. And then all of a sudden you hear the double thud, punt block, doo-doo. And now, what are you going to do now? You got a quarterback, his first year starting. You've seen this kind of play out before. And what do? Methodically. 10 plays, 75 yards, order is restored. 24-7, boom, ball game. Now, Andrew Luck didn't play particularly well at all. But I'm being nice. He didn't play well at all. They're 0-9 on third down. You know, you win a game, you go 0-9 on third down, Skip, your defense has played phenomenal because you got a couple of scooping scores and pick sixes.
Mm-hmm.
So, but given Kansas City and what they've been dealing with, because we know what their offense represent. They got Kelsey, they got Tyreek Hill, and but considering that, I thought my homeboy, MVP, going to win the MVP. I thought I'd throw that in there.
Mm.
Didn't play particularly well and missed some throws.
Mm.
I thought Kansas City was very impressed.
He missed some throws?
He missed some throws. He missed Tyreek. He missed Tyreek on a far cross. Mm. And he overthrew Kelsey on a 7-route, which is a corner. Mm.
Interesting. My take is very different from your take because I made the mistake that I will never make again the rest of my life. I made the mistake of betting on Andrew Luck to win a big game. And I bet it with my heart instead of my head. Okay. I bet it with my heart because I wanted Tom Brady to have the AFC Championship game at home.
That makes sense.
So I wanted Andrew Luck and company, because he seemed to have a lot of company as they came into that game. I wanted them to go in there and upset the Chiefs and then have to go to Foxborough, where Tom Brady obviously would get back to yet another Super Bowl, his ninth Super Bowl. Oof. Now it's going to be different, and it's going to be hard. But what did I see? You were being very nice to Andrew Luck. I thought he was mostly pathetic in this game.
He was very good.
He had a QBR of 19.7, scale of 0 to 100, which is just pathetic.
Nice.
And I asked the question, is his shoulder still bothering him? Because all I saw was a lot of push passes and very slow on the draw, very deliberate, like, I'm going to push the ball over here to this guy. And it seemed like every other pass got tipped or batted at the line of scrimmage.
Well, Skip, it was like 20 degrees out there.
Okay. Well, maybe it was too cold for the Houston boy.
You know how dome teams do when they go outside.
Yeah, he grew up in Houston. He torched the Texans in Houston in
the dome.
Yeah.
They play in a dome.
Okay. But it looked to me like once you take away his run game, which was taken away, no Marlon Mack to speak of, to your point, and once your hot defense looks cold in Kansas City against that kid and all those weapons, then all of a sudden Andrew Luck got exposed in this game. And again, somebody I know, somebody very near to me right now, had the audacity to suggest that Andrew Luck belonged on the Pro Bowl team ahead of Tom Brady.
He did, Skip.
That's just laughable.
If you can't base it on playoffs.
It's just this guy.
Well, if that's the case, C.J. Anderson should be in the Pro Bowl. Mm. If we're going to blame for our Pro Bowl performances.
He should be, actually.
Stop. You know what, Skip, but you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Well, you ought to be ashamed for even suggesting that Andrew Luck. It's just, come
Skip, on. Skip, 39 touchdowns and 15 picks.
It's just completely misleading. It was a mirage. And it just blew up in the cold.
They started 1-5. And for them to go 1-5 and make it to the playoffs and win a playoff game.
I don't think it was his doing. He contributed, but I think it was Marlon Mack being the hottest back in
football. You do know Marlon Mack missed four games.
You know? But at the last five or six games, look at what he did.
But while he was missing in the middle of the season, Andrew Luck had eight straight games of three touchdowns.
What happened Saturday? Maybe it's my fault. I just picked the wrong. The bigger the game, the worse he plays. Yeah. I don't think
it's okay. Fault. Kansas City get paid, too. What do you think? They were going to just go lay down?
Yeah, but speaking of Kansas City, I appreciated your objectivity because I thought the kid wasn't very accurate on Saturday.
No,
he was throwing it all over the lot, and he will rock and fire. And sometimes they're wild high, wild low. But you know what I love about his receivers? They have such that they love playing with him. They make catches for him that are unbelievably good.
That
Travis
that
Kelce
made,
just snatches them everywhere.
The thing and see what and Kelce made a catch when Mahomes sidearmed the ball and he threw it from behind the guy, and so Kelce doesn't get an opportunity to pick the ball up until late. And that's the hardest catch because as a receiver, I'm trying to pick the ball up out of the quarterback's hand, Skip, as quick as I possibly can. And you know sometimes how a guy flashed in front of you and you drop the ball. Well, all of a sudden, the ball, you're looking for the – you see Mahomes. He throws the ball from behind someone, and all of a sudden, you're looking at him, and then it's there.
But it's like contagious magic where you think, I'm supposed to catch this because it's a magical throw, and it's going to be a magical catch.
Right.
It's just like a rub-off effect on everybody. Tyreek makes catches where I say, how did he do that? Sammy made a couple on Saturday where I said, how did he do that? It's because they love playing with this kid. And listen, Damian Williams, I watched him. Every snap he played at the University of Oklahoma, he has talent. They're lucky to have him. He got booted out of the Oklahoma program. We won't get into all that. But, Andy Reid has a lot of bad actors.
I just want him to go. I just want him to keep moving forward because sometimes he'll get the ball and he'll run backwards. Sometimes he'll catch a pass and run backwards.
He has some explosiveness.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not sure they're missing Kareem Hunt that much.
Oh, yeah, they miss him, Skip. He's the third leading rusher.
Well,
he was led the league in the NFL in rushing.
But they had, would they have 180 yards rushing?
Yeah.
That'll work.
It's going to be real cold on Sunday.
Yeah, I was going to say, you brought up the temperature.
It's supposed to be like 10 degrees.
Really?
Yeah.
The colder it is, the better Tom Brady seems to play. Yeah. I don't know why that is, but that's
when that's when you put hands on those receivers and make Tom Brady throw the ball down the field. We're going to see if he got that kind of accuracy throwing the ball 30, 40 yards. Because I know my homeboy do.
You know what? You better not disappear like Bosa and Ingram disappeared, right? Mm. Those pass rushers?
Oh, they used to. Bosa, they used to play it in L.A. Mm. And then before that, they was in San Diego.
Okay.
These guys used to practice. This is why Andy moved up to get a guy to play in the elements that the elements have no factor, because he can still zip the ball 60 yards, even in those conditions.
Even though he grew up in Texas.
That got to do with it.
Since you brought up Tom Brady and the weather, he doesn't seem to be fazed by it. But Shannon and Eric Dickerson, they've been the leaders of the Tom Brady hater club.
Now what?
I don't know. We need some honest opinions. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then. Facts, sports, one of one.